This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, it's in Gort's contract. We got to let it play out when there's a song that he can dance to. So now we can start. To the Gabriel Pizza Hotline we go. The official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. The voice of the Sens, color voice on TSN 1200. It's Gort Wilson. Hi, Gord.
It's not in my contract, and I can tell you that I probably danced completely out of that song back in the 80s, but whenever it came out.
90s,
anyway.
90s, yeah.
90s, it. Okay. There you go. How are you, fellas?
Oh, fantastic. Even better for speaking with you. How are you enjoying the heat that is winding down today, Gord?
It is winding
down.
Early
summer.
Yeah, a little disappointing that it is winding down because you get used to it, but such is life. We're very, very blessed and lucky that we got this massive summer heat wave in May. So there you go. Took full advantage of it this weekend. I hope everybody did.
Five of the series go to seven games. The last two go to overtime. How entertaining was that for Gord Wilson?
Well, just top of the list, eh? It was fantastic. Unfortunately, couldn't stay up for the Calgary one, but I shouldn't say that because I fell asleep, woke up, and thought, oh, okay, let's take a look. It was 2-2, and I think there was about 7 minutes left in the third period. I should have done it, but I just fell right back to sleep. Stupid me, eh? Anyway.
Very stupid.
Very stupid, but holy smokes. We couldn't have asked for anything more for this weekend of seven-game series, and a couple of them go to OT. And they all, I think, sort of went as expected. I honestly thought with Jerry and Sidney back in the Penguins lineup that they would be able to pull it off. But, boy, those Rangers, and as Chris Kreider described post-game, heart attack kids or comeback cardiac kids, and they did it again. And a phenomenal run to finish things off and move on to the second round.
I guess we can kind of start where Lloyd and I left last segment off. Just reaction to the Maple Leafs losing in seven games to the Tampa Bay Lightning and where you would go from there if you were running the Leafs.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this last week, and do you make wholesale change? Is there going to be change? Yes, inevitably at the end of every season, whether you win the cup or not, there will be change. How much change and what kind of significance the change has on this Leafs team is going to be very, very interesting. And I don't know if you start at the top, if you work your way down a little bit, if there are buttons that you don't think are being pushed that should be pushed. The summation from the players post-game was, we are right there, you know, Austin Matthews' words. And they are. They're very, very close, but there's a little, like, this is six straight years now. You can accept maybe the first two or three based on the youth of the players involved, but now you get a little bit of experience and you still come up short after a tremendous regular season again. And they did all the things that they were supposed to do. They did all the right things throughout the course of the season. They gave their number one goaltender a reset break. They gave defensemen time needed, forwards time needed off, or a little bit of a rest period to prepare for the grind of NHL playoff hockey, and it looked as though they were quite prepared for the grind of NHL hockey, and then they came across the defending Stanley Cup champs, who are probably just a little bit more prepared. But it's just getting over that first hump, getting out of the first round, and then going from there to see what they can do. And obviously, it's going to be a seventh year now, that six straight, so they'll go into a seventh year with the possibility of having a real good regular season, and then who knows what happens come playoffs.
It's not like they haven't made significant moves along the way. Like when they went and signed John Tavares, that was a pretty big deal.
Yep.
Huge deal in the offseason. But for the most part, they haven't really overreacted from their drafted and developed, you know, star players, right? These are the guys. Do you think that maybe this is an offseason where they would look at that? And basically, you're not going to move Matthews or Marner. We're talking about William Nylander.
Yes, 100% you are. Yeah. And
yeah, would you do that?
Like, yeah, you know what? I'd certainly strongly consider it. You know, you can never have enough offense, but at the same time, there is an issue probably with defending as a team not just individual players, but defending as a team. So I'm not sure, you know, Lloydy, maybe it's just, maybe they think they have the personnel and maybe they don't think they have the coaching. Maybe there's an element of coaching that is missing from the hockey club that just can't get all this personnel together. Now, can you say goodbye to Justin Hall? I would say yes, you can, and you can improve on that position. It's easier said than done. We see it here in Ottawa. You know, oh, we need a better Nikita Zaitsev. Well, it's easier said than done to just shed yourself $4.5 million for the next 3 years and get a better defenseman, a cheaper, better defenseman. They don't come that easily. So Toronto's going to be in the same boat, and isn't it ironic that they played only 7 more games than the Ottawa Senators with all that hope and all that promise throughout the regular season and at times in postseason play?
So that was one of 5 game sevens. Unreal. They all were 1-goal games except for Oilers-Kings, which was a 2-goal game, but still real good game there. You also have the Hurricanes from Saturday advancing, and they're going to pay the New York Rangers, who, of course, won in overtime against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Thoughts on, I guess, kind of go through the matchup. What do you think of Hurricanes and Rangers?
Well, first of all, we couldn't have asked for anything better this weekend as far as competition is concerned and the closeness of games. I think, I'm not sure if there was ever a doubt on home ice, the 7th game in that Boston-Carolina series. And as soon as you saw Marchand and Bergeron having a lesser day than you expected them to, you kind of thought, okay, this one's going to be over, and Carolina is going to justly advance. I like the matchup. I think there's 2 teams with speed. I think there's 2 teams that are feeling really good about themselves. I think the Rangers are feeling a lot better about themselves than Carolina is, because I don't think anybody anticipated that series would go 7, Carolina-Boston. Certainly I didn't. Just based on regular season play and regular season dominance from Carolina over the Bees. But they found a way, and didn't you find it interesting as well, fellas, the handshake after the game, and Patrice Bergeron, it's customary for captains to be last off the ice, but just the embraces that he got from his teammates, Bergeron got from his teammates, would certainly, for me, I was given the indication that, boy, he might be hanging it up here. I'll bet he's very close to hanging it up. So, you know, Carolina, the Rangers, I think is going to be evenly matched. I think both teams can score. If Freddie Anderson is back, that's going to be an interesting dynamic thrown into the mix, because certainly Antti Raanta has made a case for himself to at least start round 2.
Have you started to peruse the 8 teams that are no longer playing as we went from 16 to 8 and changes that will have to be made, players will be available when you start to think about how the Ottawa Senators will try to improve, Gord?
No, I have not, but I can tell you that the Senators have. There's no question that the team has gone through every combination and permutation of teams and players that could be available, players that are under contract. I think in an ideal world, this team will want a player who's of the right age, in other words, between 25 and 28 years old, with some NHL experience and probably a little bit of term on his contract. In other words, more than just 1 year left. A 2 or 3 year contract that is potentially going to pay him good money, but at the same time, bring this hockey club something that it needs, whether it be a top 4D or whether it be a top 6 forward, certainly a top 8 forward. This team desperately needs one or both, and if the team can make the move, then I think you're going to see them make a move. And I think that's part of the reason for stockpiling draft picks. And we all go, oh boy, okay, here comes another draft where we got 10 picks, 5 in the first 3 rounds. Well, I'll be very disappointed if they make 5 picks in the first round. No offense to Trent Mann and his staff, but if they don't trade a couple to improve their lot as far as a real player is concerned, and by that I mean a player who can step in right away, I think it'll be a disappointing process in the first 2 days of the draft.
Would you like to see them trade the 7th overall pick for something that adjusts or that addresses one of their needs, whether it's top six forward, top four D, like whatever it ends up being? Or would you prefer they make that pick and have that player eventually join this young core and maybe look at dealing next year's pick to help land what you're looking for?
Yeah, I would look at the latter scenario before the first. I think they should make the pick. Seventh overall is pretty high. And in a draft where they think they're going to get a player, I honestly think that they can hang on to the pick. Once they make the pick, they're not cast in stone to hang on to this pick, right? You can make the pick. You can see what you have. And I can guarantee that Trent Mann and his staff's reputation around the league is an exceptionally good one. In other words, other teams trust the picks of the Ottawa Senators, and certainly first-round picks of the Ottawa Senators, which is why they've been able to, in the past, make trades with first-round picks involved. And sometimes they haven't panned out, but you know what? It's a scouting department that has a lot of respect around the National Hockey League. So I would take the pick myself, and if you get overly, I mean, look at Cole Sillinger. Here's a great example, right? And he goes before, or he goes after, Tyler Boucher. Here's an 18-year-old. I guess he's turning 19 this week.
Today, he scored today.
He scored today, yeah, at the World Championships. There you go. So, and that's the second goal of the tournament. 19 years old. 19, fresh and ripe 19-year-old. And this guy produced in his first year in the NHL. If they can get somebody like that, you know, all of a sudden surprises at training camp, and you go, well, this guy's not going anywhere. You have that option of keeping him. If you see that there's going to be some development involved, and Tyler Boucher might be a player who falls into this category where, you know what, he developed the way we thought he would throughout the course of the season, either at BU or at with the Ottawa 67s, but he may be enticing to another team. And there might be a possibility of, you know, because they have him now in the system, and they have a first-round, seventh overall pick in the system coming up in July. To me, that just gives you more options rather than trading the pick away right away.
We had some coaching news already today, Gord. Let's start with the most recent news, and Pete DeBoer is out as a head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. Your thoughts on his tenure and how it ended, and maybe the whole thing with Leonard could have contributed to that, but really that's an underachieving team that missed the playoffs, and Pete DeBoer has been a long time coach in this league, is looking for work again.
Yeah, won't be out of work for very long, I don't think, but look at the history of Pete and how long he lasts at various teams. This is interesting. Don't you find it fascinating, the dynamics in Vegas? Okay, 5 years in the making, and they missed the playoffs this year when they were expected to have a full Stanley Cup run, for heaven's sakes, after doing what they've done. They've changed their general manager. They fired a coach. They fired a second coach. They're having goaltending controversies throughout the course of the season. They've messed up on a trade scenario. This is, to me, this is just covering your own butt here, and I'm not sure if Pete is just the scapegoat or not. Obviously, as you said, Steve, very underachieving season. Everybody anticipated there would be a whole lot more. It would appear as though the team got caught in all its own distractions, right? Okay, when is Jack Eichel coming in? We're going to give up these prospects for Jack Eichel. Oh boy, Jack Eichel's coming in sooner rather than you think. And then he comes back and he's good. And you think, okay, we're going to be safe here now. But then you run into cap issues, and you're playing with a short lineup at times. You're putting guys on IR when they probably don't need to go on IR, but because you have cap issues, you've got to do it. I mean, it was just run rather shoddily, if you ask me. And again, this is just as an outsider looking in. The easy solution for a team that misses the playoffs when it's supposed to make the playoffs is fire the coach. And to me, it sounds like this may be just an easy solution. There are clearly going to be options available for the Vegas Golden Knights, and there's clearly a disconnect between GM and the coach. But again, you know, same theory for me applies to Pete DeBoer as my theory about Barry Trotz. He won't be out of work very long. He's a great coach.
Just, you know, we're kind of bouncing all over the place on you here, Gord, but we already kind of discussed Carolina and New York. Out of Battle of Alberta, Battle of Florida, and then Colorado, St. Louis, is there one that you're most looking forward to watching?
Edmonton, Calgary. I think it's just going to be the hype involved in that is going to be absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, the new look Florida Panthers, and I think because of the scare that they got in round number one, it was a hard lesson, but a necessary lesson to learn in terms of what they have to do to advance. I don't think they anticipated that they would have issues with the Washington Capitals, and they found out the hard way, but successfully found out that this is what it takes. And there are a lot of players who weren't in a situation where they were coming from a President's Trophy winning season to having to change their style of play, basically. In other words, revert to playoff-style, grind-it-out hockey. And you guys talked about this a lot last week, about the grind of first-round playoff action. And Florida, I think, maybe got caught off guard a little bit with that. So with that in mind, they're probably going to be an equal match to the Tampa Bay Lightning as far as the grind is concerned. And I'm certainly looking forward to that series. That one should be just absolutely dynamite. And again, both buildings will be absolutely electric, as will the buildings that will house the Battle of Alberta.
Tampa was able to get... Now, he obviously was playing with something, but Braden Point, man, that's a massive, massive loss. So we'll see, you know, if he's able to play. And if he is able to play, you know, he's not even he's gotten it out, Gord.
Yeah.
So that'll be something to overcome. But we got to get, and Creature touched on it briefly there, like, who doesn't love Nick Paul in this town? And the love that was coming on social media from Sens fans for Nick Paul, it was twofold, let's be honest. Nick Paul doing some Nick Paul things, coming up big, doing a little bit of everything, leading them in minutes as a forward. He's on the ice at the end of the game to try to win it. He's killing penalties. He's scoring goals. And he's doing it against the Leafs. That certainly did help with Sens fans. They're, to me, for Tampa to get it done against that deep Florida team, they're going to need more of that from Nick Paul and others if Braden Point is, you know, not even close to 100%, or even if he plays at Elgord, that's a massive loss for Tampa in what's going to be a tough series against Florida.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, when you're up against a team like the Panthers, you want your best to be in the lineup every night. So not having Braden Point is going to be extremely tough on Tampa, and certainly a lot easier for the Florida Panthers. Just getting back to Nick Paul, don't you find it fascinating? Coaches can be so wrapped up in their own regular season that they miss a lot about other players. I found it funny to hear John Cooper say about Nick Paul, boy, he's a lot better player than I thought he was. Okay, so you see him a couple of times a year, you're up against him, but you're up against everybody else on the team, and you're trying to win the game, and you're not focusing in on one particular player. Well, it's been easy to focus in on one particular player for this Tampa team right now, because this one particular player has just been eye-opening. And it's funny, because when I'm up in the broadcast booth and I see Nick Paul either at practice when I'm sitting in the stands or watching during a game, and I've seen every one of his games with the exception of, or since the trade, or before the trade, I've seen every one of his games, and you notice certain things about him, but boy, watching him now on TV, I'm noticing a lot more. And it looks as though he's got a heavy stride in his skate and almost looks like he's lumbering. And then you see him turn the corner on a player and drive to the net, and you go, and I said to Jake, this is a massive man as well. And my son, so it goes, well, what's he weigh? And I'm thinking probably 210 to 220, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to check my charts from before the trade deadline. But at 6'4", he can motor, and he is a hard guy to take down. And we've also seen that element. I mean, the game-winning goal that he scored, Rocket, that was a thing of beauty. But we have seen him. There were times when I was critical of his game because he was dangling too much. He was trying to do the little toe drag just outside his own blue line, or trying to do something in the neutral zone or in the opposition's end where he had no business trying it. Well, he tried something pretty special the other night that was an absolute thing of beauty, and obviously paid off with the game winner.
Yeah, are you enjoying all these teams getting sensed with with Nick Paul and Cody Ceci and Mika Zibanejad? Kyle Turris was called up today.
Oh, boy, was he? Okay. The Lightning could use him. Yeah, you know what? Cody has elevated his game, and it's been fun to watch. These are all real fine young people, too, you know. Mika Zibanejad, I have all the time in the world for Zibanejad, so to see the success that he's having has been tremendous. Obviously, you feel wonderful for a guy like Nick Paul, who's really taken advantage of the trade and the opportunity and now looking towards the future, and every other team on the planet is looking at him and thinking, okay, he's a UFA at season's end. This will be a fun guy to go after, a possibility of a guy to go after. And then on the other side of the coin, you feel for Jason Spezza, right? I mean, he was such a huge part of the fabric of Ottawa, of the Senators, and of the city of Ottawa for the longest time. Now, he chose to move on, and he chose Toronto and the pressures of, and to see him go through the handshake line with another year of disappointment on his face was tough. It was disappointing. I was disappointed for him, but certainly not for Nick Paul or Cody Ceci or the other Sens that have had a hand in playing the role of spoiler.
All right, we'll hit our, and we kind of asked you this, what creature asked you which series you're most looking forward to. So the web poll question of the day, brought to you by who, Gord? Again, I always forget.
The Tool and Equipment Store, 2205 okay. Robertson Road in Bell's Corners, fabulous store. Uh-huh. And there is one as well in the East End, Hawthorne and Russell.
Okay, who knew? There we go. which series has the best chance of going the distance? So the series that are about to begin, we're going to have them start tomorrow night, some of them.
Yeah.
Lightning Panthers, Oilers Flames, Rangers Hurricanes, Blues Avalanche.
Oh, my goodness.
Which series do you think has the best chance of going seven?
I am going to stick with the East, and I'm going to say Tampa, Florida has a real good chance of going the distance, as well as Mike Smith played, and as snake bitten around the net as Calgary was, I think Calgary will really, really have a fun time with the Edmonton Oilers. I'm going to go Florida, Tampa Bay. I really think that the Lightning are going to overcome the absence of Braden Point just because they can. And I'll say that series will go the distance. And by the distance, we mean seven games, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick, a rider to that, to the Sens question you were asked. Who gets more points, the Duke or Nick Paul in the head-to-head?
Answer me this. Was the Duke a healthy scratch, or was he injured?
I thought he was injured. Anthony, I'll have to double-check that.
Yeah, let's double-check that, guys, because somebody told me that he was healthy scratched for that game where Carter Verhaeghe scored the game or replaced him on that line. I thought he was injured, but then I got the whispers of, oh, he might have been a healthy scratch, and I thought, not a chance. But, I mean, stranger things have happened, right? So I'm going to go Anthony Duclair. The Duke will get more points if he's healthy and always in the lineup.
All right. We'll leave it there, Gord. You enjoy the last few hours of summer, as we're going to go back to more seasonal, and then you'll be back in the full cottage life again.
Yep, sounds good. All right, I'm looking at dandelions that need to be sprayed or dug out or whatever, so because I don't have any of that illegal spray. Okay. Bye, fellas.
All right, Gord, you have fun with that. Okay. Don't inhale that stuff. Okay,
no,
be careful out there. All right.
See you, boys.
Gord will be back with us on Wednesday, and we'll have some games to talk about in round two, and it'll be a round two game day, so we look forward to that. It's a dark night tonight. No Stanley Cup playoff games, and right back in the round two starting tomorrow. We'll get back to some of your text messages coming up next, 12-1200. Your standard text message rate supply. Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, Kenny Walls with you on In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, 132. Crazy, where did the show go? It's almost like it's half a show. And here we are.
Could get used to these Hockey Canada games, eh?
Sure, yeah. Well, we'll have two others that will impact the show later in the week on Thursday and Friday, but it will be at the other end of things. It will impact the drive more than this show, but we'll be done at 1:20 on Thursday and Friday as we continue coverage, courtesy of the mothership at TSN, Gord Miller and Mike Johnson overseas, and Mike Johnson still doing his hits on TSN mornings from Finland as well, as Canada got off to a 3-0 start with a 5-1 win over Slovakia today. And, of course, the Senators playing for Team Canada. Well, there's assistant coach DJ Smith, who's assisting Claude Julien. And on the ice, there's captain Thomas Chabot, captain of Team Canada, wears an A, of course, with the Sens. Nick Holden, who ended up wearing an A here in Ottawa, he is also on the team. And up front, it is Drake Batherson. And with Batherson, that's the most interesting one for me from a Sens perspective, because I think it's encouraging that he felt well enough to go, because it wasn't like he was bad down the stretch, but he just wasn't at the level that he was at prior to the injury. You can tell that it's going to take some time, and let's hope that if he's well enough to play at these Worlds, that's a good sign, because why would you risk anything, right? And you get to your summer, and by the time he rolls in the camp, and that's still up in the air. These things can drag on for like a year before you feel well with these high ankle sprains, Graham. But to me, just from a Sens perspective for Team Canada, listen, I hope Team Canada wins the Worlds. I do. I was cheering for them last year. I'm Canadian. This tournament, though, isn't the end-all be-all for me. It's kind of, this is on as well. Yes, I'm interested, especially if there are some players that I have particular interest in tracking. And for this year's edition, that player is Drake Batherson. I just want to see him get through it healthy. I think if I'm a Sens fan watching this, and he can get to his summer with a little more confidence in that leg after what happened to him from your new favorite player, Graham, who you never want to mention his name, what happened there.
Oh. You mean the minor league goaltender?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just know whenever we come even close to that subject, that's the line you go with. You don't even speak his name. And I think you're going to stick to that, right?
At least time I'll mention his name is if we're talking Elsa and Anna and Frozen.
Okay. Well,
that's as close as I'll come.
And unfortunately, he was pretty much the reason why Belleville was eliminated. He was really good. Just to put a little salt in the wound there for you.
Just while we're kind of doing whatever in this segment, I was just talking to Lee. I overheard Lee through the door explaining to Kenny that AJ did in fact lose in pickleball to Marcotte today.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
So Lee came in after I turned my microphone off and we were talking, and I may or may not have sent him multiple Mika Zibanejad texts this weekend. Lee isn't the biggest Mika fan. So when Mika had the 4-point game, I took a screenshot of the box score, highlighted all the plays, the goals that Mika was involved in, and then last night once again. But I also, was pumping up his boys' tires, Cody Ceci, for scoring a big goal in Game 7. Lee was fired up in that moment. But the reason I'm bringing this up is Lee and I were discussing, can you imagine Dallas, LA win their Game 7s? Like, I might not watch that series. Or very much of it. Like, that's number 4 with a bullet.
Oh, not even close. You're right. And listen, well, you win a playoff round, you deserve that respect, okay? But just from unless you're a fan of either one of those teams, and I would say more so with Dallas stylistically, I will say this, watching the game, Miro Heiskanen, man, he's fun to watch. But outside of that, with Dallas these days, it's, you know what, you know, Pavelski's a great story, and he finds his offense, and Robertson's a really nice, okay, Ottinger was the guy, right? But in terms of, you know, the way they play, It's just not as entertaining.
No,
they don't score easily. It's just it's.
Let's be honest. I would have watched it. Like, we're talking two. We're down to two games a night. So I would have watched it, but like that, it's easily would have been the fourth most appealing series if they had won those two games. And like full value, like you said, Ottinger is best goalie of the first round. But no, it's if you're given that or Battle of Alberta, come on.
Well, and specifically to one player and watching Heiskanen, I mean, you know, that has been the guy that, you know, Jake Sanderson stylistically has been compared to more so than any other young defenseman in the game. And so if you're bringing it back for a Sens fan lens, and I'm not saying that's exactly what it's going to be. I'm saying
you're saying he's going to be better.
Yeah, sure. That's the style of play. Like, skate all day long, up and down the ice, skate for miles kind of a player. And it can make offensive plays and is a really good defender because he's such a good skater. You know, that's the kind of player the Senators certainly hope that they have in Jake Sanderson. And you watch Heiskanen play, if you could just be anything close to that, that's a hell of a player. Like,
yeah, he's ridiculous. Even like his first year in the league, I was watching him in the postseason. Like, this guy, he's how young? Like, he looked like a poised veteran out there. It was and of course he's continued that. And I think it was Sutter saying that they can't slow him down. You have to get to him right away. If you let him get going, there's no stopping him. He's awesome.
He's wearing a letter for Dallas already as well. Like, he is some kind of player. But I'm with you. I'm glad we're seeing the Battle of Alberta. I'm very glad about that.
Yeah.
Rather than seeing those other two teams move right along and go through here. Okay. There was something else, but I got distracted by by AJ losing at pickleball. So what sports next, do you think?
Oh, man.
Couldn't beat him at track. Couldn't beat him at pickleball. What's next? Going to play Battleship?
No, stop trying. Stop trying. Actually, don't stop trying. I'm enjoying this.
You know what?
I can't wait to listen to their show, though. I'm sure there are some reasons or excuses about how the result ended up not going their way. I don't even know for sure that it didn't, but Lee said that it did.
Do you think Scoops has been texted already about something that didn't go right?
No.
Complaining?
Here's my prediction. Credit to Patricia Bull, and no mention of Marcotte. That's how I'm predicting the post-game analysis from AJ will come.
Okay. Well, maybe Terry's become a curling coach. Did you know this?
I didn't know about coach, really, but I know that he curls.
He's really gotten into curling since he retired, and to the point where I know that he taught Ken Warren how to curl this past winter. So maybe if AJ's looking to play catch-up, maybe Terry could teach him to curl, and then maybe he could someday beat the master. That could be an angle we could work with. That would count for a lot, right? Let's say you learn how to curl from Terry to the point where you actually beat Terry.
No, man.
That almost makes up for losing pickleball and the track if you can beat the master.
Does AJ golf at all?
I think he's done the odd nine and dine when we used to do those pre-pandemic. But I wouldn't call him, he doesn't golf, no, per se.
I was going to say we could suggest that, but I think Terry would have his number in golf. Because, yeah, I've never even, like, I can't even imagine, like, yeah, I've definitely never been golfing at the same time as AJ. Not saying he can't. I just have never heard of him even talk about golfing.
Well, he's told the story. He used to golf a lot when he was younger, but then it got too frustrating for him, and he had to give it up because he just wasn't enjoying it. And his rant's always been, "I can play well, and I have one bad hole, and it screws up my whole round. I don't think that's good. I don't like that." That's. But isn't that like every sport, right? If you're a goaltender, you're playing great the whole game, but if you let in one from the red line at center ice, nobody remembers the other 45 saves you made. Got to play the whole game, right? Got to be consistent. Anyways, pickleball update coming up, folks. Can't wait. Shortly after this show ends at 2:00. All right, some text messages coming. I promise we get to them. We haven't got to many of them yet here. Ron writes, "Hi guys, I love Gord. Who doesn't love Gord? But I have to disagree with him about Pete DeBoer. He has coached some pretty talented teams. He's never been able to get them to the next level. He's an underachieving coach who's overrated. That comes in from Ron. Paul has some thoughts on Claude Giroux. Is he coming to Ottawa? Thoughts, Paul? I don't know. I think it's fair to say if Claude Giroux hits the free agent market, I would think there would be at least some mutual interest. Whether or not that gets pushed over the finish line, couldn't tell you. How about this one? Nylander for Tom Wilson. Straight up, discuss. My discussion on that, no way I'm doing that if I'm the Capitals. I'm not doing that. You?
No. No, there aren't too many Tom Wilsons. And Nylander's very talented, but I don't think that is a move that necessarily kind of puts them back into title contention conversation.
Well, Tom Wilson came up on another text from somebody else. If there's a pivot in Washington, like you mentioned, is Tom Wilson the kind of player you absolutely blow the doors off the Caps with an offer to get? I think so, and if so, what would it take to get him from the farm team? Man, that's just one guy. I don't see the Caps moving. No, like Ovi's not going anywhere. But
Ovi to Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Who would have thought that about Tom Wilson when he was the same draft as Cody Ceci? When Ceci ended up falling and Ottawa took him and Tom Wilson was sitting there as well. And Kenny can speak to this, and you know, covers the OHL so closely. You remember that draft, Kenny, where Tom Wilson was kind of the wild card and a lot of teams were wary. It's like, yeah, I can see why he's maybe a first round talent in this draft, but you just haven't seen teams draft players that you don't think have like a forward, right? That high in a first round, because he went in the teens, right? That doesn't have too much of an offensive upside. So you thought at that point.
9 goals in his draft year.
Yeah, and then you go back in time. That's a hell of a pick. That's a great pick where they took him. But at the time, there was a lot of doubt. A lot of people were like, ooh, what are the Capitals doing? Isn't that a bit of a reach? And it's turned out pretty well.
In his first 2 years in the OHL with Plymouth, he had 12 goals. That doesn't scream first round pick. And for those who are extremely upset about the Tyler Boucher draft pick by the Ottawa Senators, well, it takes a little while. And Boucher obviously hasn't played as much hockey as Tom Wilson did. I don't think they're exact comparables, but that was I don't want to say a reach at the time, but your word hesitancy comes up, and it should, because there's just not a track record recently of guys like that. You go back to the early 2000s, late 90s, even before that, you can get some tough guys taken fairly early on and some bigger players. This new generation of hockey, you don't quite have that. And that was an off-the-board type of pick for the Capitals, and clearly has worked out quite well for them.
Can you guys, yeah, you guys want to do a quick, fun little game here?
Search, I like games.
Search Tom Wilson. Search Tom Wilson on Hockey Database.
Okay.
Kenny, you can play along here as well. Let me know when you're there. And go to his draft year, the 2012 NHL entry draft. You there?
I'm okay. All right, Graham.
All right, now go.
Feels like it's a PowerPoint presentation.
Go to the penalty minutes column on the first round and scan down.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I know what you're doing, yeah.
Well, it's now, hilarious. It's like 26, 181, 104, 238, 1,221. Like, it's hilarious. It just jumps off the page at you. Everyone else is like 200 or less for the most part from that draft, and he's got over 1,200. What a beast.
Okay, he's 1,221, and I just, you know, I did the sorting by that column as well. Number two is Trouba in the first round and number two in the draft, and Trouba was ninth overall. 468. Cedric Paquette is third, and he was a fourth round pick.
He loved
at
it.
391. Yeah. Damon Severson is, he was a 60th overall pick at the end of the second round. He's at 350. Matt Dumba was seventh overall, 318. Hampus Lindholm also 318. He was sixth overall. But you're right. It's,
I was just looking because you brought up the draft year. So I was just looking to see, where he went and like kind of similar players that or not similar, but guys that maybe you'd want to take back in the teens around there, just looking at that. And then, like, I'm just kind of scanning the list. I just 1,200 penalty minutes just pops out at you, especially compared to where everyone else is at around him.
It's funny. He's played 50 more games than Jacob Trouba, but he well more than double, almost triple the penalty minutes on second place Jacob Trouba. And Jacob Trouba is a guy that's known to take penalties. Look at the way he was abusing Penguins players late in that series. You know, with Will Crosby, the hit was a Gensel that he got when they put him down to the 5-on-3 early in the game. You know, Trouba's got that kind of reputation, and he's not even close to Tom Wilson.
You think the Sabres would rather have Gergensons or Tom Wilson?
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Interesting. All right. Keep those texts coming in. Couple minutes left in the show. Maybe we can squeeze in a few more. But we'll have a full edition tomorrow. Graham Creech is in all week. We're in the box. Coming up, though, shortly after 2, it will be The Drive. Lever Sage. Pickleball disgrace. Stay tuned. AJ Jakubek. That's coming up there shortly after 2 o'clock on TSN 1200.